Life isn't always easy, but God's Word has something to say about every situation we face. The Family Room is a podcast where we talk openly about real life struggles. Join us as we have casual conversations about real problems.
Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We are going to be taking a look at issues that come up with children that and families and even adults that may be hard to talk about or something that we're not able to talk about in length. I know we had our parenting conference here recently, and we had some great information at the parenting conference, but unfortunately, it's like drinking out of a fire hose. And so we're hoping that we can use this podcast to help parents with different answer the questions they may have and talk through the struggles that I think we all face. We've got Erin with us. She's a preschool director here at Edmonds First Baptist Church. And we also have Laura Pyatt, and she's a LPC. And so she is excited to get into answering some questions that I think that we all have as believers, we have a biblical foundation, of course, in God's Word to help guide us when it comes to parenting and helping children and families through hard situations. But we also know that God has given us individuals that are trained and are licensed and able to help even more dive deeper into even the science and things behind why we struggle with some of the things we struggle with, because unfortunately it's a fallen world and something that we're going to struggle with till we're in glory, but something that we can get help with. And so Laura, I'm excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, so when you talk with parents, there's a lot of talk with different things that children struggle with, even adults, teens, we all struggle with different things, but one of the top things is always anxiety. Feels like our society, especially in our world, is we're seeing more anxiety, at least I think so, when it comes to just everybody in general. There's always something to be anxious about. You turn on the news and there's something terrible going on, or there's this or that. And so I was hoping to see if you could help us just kind of talk through a little bit of anxiety and give us maybe on the first question, if you will, just kind of give us a general overview of what is anxiety anyways. Some of us may not know, well, what is anxiety? What causes it? Why do we feel this way we do? And so, yeah, if you want to just kind of give us a brief overview, that'd be awesome.
Okay. I think you're right. First of all, anxiety is very prevalent in our society today. There's a lot of things that are happening that are out of our control. And as humans, we seek to control when things are out of control. But I would just say in general, there's an acronym, FEAR, false evidence appearing real. And I would describe anxiety in that way. Also, you could describe it as just a constant loop of worry, like a roller coaster of worry, an endless loop that goes through your mind. You have the same thought happening over and over and over again, or the same group of thoughts happening over and over again. And just kind of out of control. You could also, if you did anxiety as a math equation, it would say anxiety equals, and then a fraction. On the top part, you would say an overestimation of danger, and then you would draw the line, and underneath that would be an underestimation of your ability to cope. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in a lot of ways, people sometimes, because something bad has happened in their past, they assume it's going to happen again, and they assume they can't cope with it because maybe in their minds they didn't cope with it well the first time. So they automatically assume that the worst is going to happen and that they're not going to be able to cope. So it's just these thoughts that you keep focusing on that grow bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind until you've convinced yourself and you believe the lie that the worst is going to happen and that you can't handle it. So.
Yeah, I would say that sounds exactly right. I know the children, does it seem like when it comes to children, at least, that you're seeing anxiety like across the gambit with even younger children, even preschool age? Or can preschool age children have anxiety and symptoms like that?
Sure, they can have separation anxiety. I work with mainly ages 6 and above, and most of my practice is, I would say, centered around ages 6 to 18. And I do see adults, some college-age women, and then older adults. But yes, younger kids, toddlers, they experience anxiety. I see it in my granddaughter. And what's funny is parents can model for their kids. You know, she's afraid to, you know, toddlers are the age where they explore things. And if you put something new in front of them, they will, first they will hesitate and try to avoid. And as a parent, it's important to help them explore and be the safe place and teach them how to safely touch something. So like with my granddaughter, Riley, we had an acorn the other day and she looked at it and she hesitated, but I took my hand and touched it first. And then she saw me do that. And then she touched it. And then I have this little Halloween decoration out and its mouth moves. And her brother, who's four, just puts his finger in there because he's seen it before. But she just watched it and then she backed away. And then you could see her little finger. She wanted to put it in there, but she didn't. So I did it. And then I put her finger on top of mine and we did it together. So, and then she's putting it in there. So that's kind of, you know, as a parent, as a grandparent, or as an adult, I should say, you model how to handle fear and take it one step at a time. So,
yeah, I like the acronym that you said about fear. And it's definitely something that we see, as I said, there's a lot of things to be fearful of in the world with just everything going on. I feel like there's obviously a lot of sin in the world. Right. And I think we have to, like you said, recognize, like you said at the beginning, recognize what where it comes from and then be able to hopefully work through those things. I know we talked a little bit about young children just a second ago, but how, as parents, I feel like, one, a lot of us just aren't, we're not, we don't feel like at least that we're trained enough. We don't feel like, you're, as a parent, and I know as your parent yourself, like, do you feel like there's times where it's hard to recognize maybe anxiety, or is this normal that my child is throwing a tantrum right now because of this, or is they having anxiety? The world is, it's hard to tell sometimes when it comes to being a parent, and I feel like that's a struggle for most parents. You want to help your kids. And even your young children all the way up to teens, you want to help them, but sometimes it's hard to recognize that. How could you help recognize anxiety in a child and up's life? How do you see that?
I think you have to look at the context of the behavior that's taking place. But obviously, if you've asked a child to do something and they're throwing a tantrum, they obviously don't want to do it. But if it's something new, and they're throwing a tantrum, that could be anxiety. So you see irritability in children, or anger sometimes when they're fearful. But some of the classic signs of anxiety, they usually last 2 weeks or longer. So, and this is where, you know, if the child is verbal, you're able to ask them, you know, what are you feeling? Are you feeling nervous or on edge? Are you able to stop or control the worrying, worrying too much about different things, just noticing that they have trouble to relaxing or that they're more fidgety, more active than normal, having a hard time sitting still, probably becoming easily annoyed or irritable would be the other thing. And then just feeling afraid as if something awful, the feeling of dread that's going to happen. And if these symptoms last 2 weeks or longer in a person, generally, you can say they might be dealing with anxiety. But I think it comes down to communication, just asking some questions. Obviously, with an older child, you can ask what their thoughts are and explore with them. You know, what is it you're thinking? What is it? I'm wondering if you're fearful. I wonder if you're afraid. And really trying to put yourself in their shoes. So recently, my husband and I work in the baptistry, and we had a six-year-old girl who was going to be baptized. And I was, I think you were there.
Yeah.
It was recently. And she was very quiet, so that was one way I knew. She's very quiet. And the grandmother was asking, you know, why aren't you talking? This is an exciting day. And this little girl was so reserved. And I thought, well, maybe it's me. You know, I'm different. I'm a new person. And then I thought, wait a minute. I wonder if she knows how to swim. Because she was, her eyes were just, she was watching. We walked her up to the baptistry and we're showing her the water and her eyes were getting bigger. And so I was noticing some, you have to be observant, right? So I was noticing some of these things about her. And then I said, why don't you put your hand in the water just to see how warm it is? It's warm. Trust me, it's like bath water. You can bring a bar of soap and some shampoo. And so she was kind of hesitant at first again. And I said, here, put your hand in. You know, I put my hand in. And then she put her hand in and she still didn't seem to be, I don't know, I just sensed in her nervousness. And typically people, when they come to be baptized, are nervous because it's all about, oh my gosh, people are looking at me, right?
They're going
to
stare at you, yeah.
And so I asked her, I said, are you nervous that people are going to be watching? She's like, oh, kind of, no. You know, she just kind of, and then I just happened to think, I wonder if she's ever been swimming before. I said, do you like to swim? And she said, no. And I said, have you ever gotten your face wet? No. So here's somebody who probably has showered, but not been submersed in water. And that's what she was about to go do. Yeah. And so I immediately went to, oh my goodness. Like in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I said, well, it's going to be 1 second. Like you're going to be, it's going to be really fast. And I said, Here's what you need to do. You need to hold your nose. So I walked her through holding her nose and closing her eyes and closing her mouth. But this was a crash course in being submersed in about 2 minutes, right? And so I went over to Christian. I'm like, hey, this young lady, she doesn't like to swim. She's never been totally underwater before. And Christian's eyes were like, oh, my gosh. But anyway, she did it. She did it, but she was scared. So I think as an adult, you really have to think outside of yourself and you kind of have to realize, hey, and I start asking some questions about what might this person be fearing or why is this behavior happening, you know? And you have to get creative sometimes because I didn't know this girl. I'd never met her before.
Yeah, and she's been upstairs, you know, for a while now, but we don't do much swimming in the kids' ministry upstairs. So
yeah.
That's not my first question to think to ask, but it's something now that I think I'm, as we get ready to baptize children, something I'm going to bring up as we talk to them, because it's not something, again, that I didn't think to put myself in her shoes in that sense, but now I'm able to, and again, yeah, just because I'm equipped with it. And so, and I was proud of her. She did a great job.
She did it.
She was got out and she was excited, yeah, and it was ended up being great, but you're right. Well, I think as parents, it can be hard sometimes for, it's easy for us to put our shoes, like to try and put our, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of other adults. But when right. it comes to children, it's sometimes just hard to have that parent, well, you're seven. What do you mean you're scared of? What do you mean you're scared of this? What do you mean you don't want to? I feel like that's sometimes hard for us as parents and just adults in general, mm-hmm, to put ourselves in the shoes of the kid and we'll, what is this child thinking right now? She's never been swimming, and now she's going to be in front of a whole church, and that's a big deal.
Oh, it is a big deal, yeah. It's empathy. Yeah. When you're trying to put yourself in another person's shoes, it's true empathy.
Yep.
So, I mean, just like Christ came, you know, God came down in human form, right?
Right.
And he experienced every temptation, every feeling that we've ever had. He experienced it to know what it was like to be human.
Yeah. So. Definitely. Well, I know we've talked a little bit, and I know for anybody that's listening, this certainly isn't going to be a end-all, be-all crash course on anxiety in general. But so as maybe we do recognize that our child is anxious, and maybe they're not to the level of, well, they've had it for 2 weeks, but maybe every so often, just like all children get anxious, mm-hmm, they all are nervous about something. But what are some ways that we can help as parents to help our kids cope with that? Is there ways we can help them kind of cope with anxiety and help them, you know, as they struggle through it? Or,
well, I think helping them name it is one thing. Not allowing them to avoid situations. That's when anxiety grows, when they don't want to do something because they're scared and you realize they're scared. It's like it would have been easy for us to say, you don't have to do that today. You don't have to get baptized today.
Yeah.
And then what would have happened? Yeah. The fear would have grown. That's all she would have thought about, is the fact that she hasn't done it yet and she's getting ready to do it. So helping your children not avoid situations. But it's also, and again, the empathy piece of it, but helping them realize that just be that anxiety is normal, calling it out and accepting it as normal. I mean, God made us, He made us with anxiety to protect ourselves. And so maybe that's where the conversation starts. It's, you know, back in the caveman days, and this is what I tell my clients, back in the caveman days, we didn't have Target, Walmart, Amazon. You know, they hunted it for their food, and as they were hunting for their food, they were being hunted. So God made us to ourselves, you know, that they He put gave us anxiety to protect ourselves so that we could be on alert to protect ourselves to survive, right? And like just today, if we see a car coming toward us, anxiety pulls us back on the curb, right? And if you're a parent and you're walking with your child and you see another child on a bicycle coming toward you as you're walking, you're going to move to the side, right? If you didn't have the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, if God hadn't made us that way, we would be injured all the time. The human race wouldn't have survived, honestly. So I think it's starting with a conversation of it's okay to have anxiety. It's a normal feeling, and it's trying to protect you. So in this situation, what do you think it's trying to tell you? You know, what do you think you might need to be protected from? And then once they share that, just say, well, yeah, I get that. That would make sense, you know, that you would want to be protected from that. But, you know, let's try it, because it may not be as bad as you think. Here's the benefits of doing it. Here's all the good things that would come from doing this event or this activity, right? And so let's give it a try, right? I think the other part of this is Satan is the father of lies. And he's going to make you think that you don't need to do certain things. and it's going to keep you back from fulfilling God's purpose, right? And so I think just, again, going back to the beginning of this question, is calling out anxiety as being a normal feeling that we all have, that it serves a purpose, but that we don't want to avoid things because it would keep us from living the life that God would have us live, right?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I definitely, it's, I think not just with anxiety, but anything. Sometimes a lot of the parent, at least I've heard upstairs, parents always say, well, is this normal? Is this normal? Is my child being normal because of this or that? And I think it's good for parents to understand, like you said, anxiety is a normal response that God has given us. And because God's given it to us, it's good, and we need to use it. But again, as you said, sometimes there reaches a point where it's not good because we've gotten further into that fear and that area. So, yeah, that's really good.
When it stops kids from going to school or stops kids from going into the nursery, you know, with separation anxiety,
right?
That's a very normal thing. I think first-time parents don't understand, yes, your child is going to cry. What's important is that they stop after you leave.
Right, yeah.
So, and what do you normally see in the preschool classes? Is that what happens after a time? They get used to it.
Yep, and sometimes it's over a process of them. It might take a couple of weeks. This is a brand new building. These are brand new people. Everything is new to them, and so it takes a little bit. But I'm like, you know, we give it some time. If they don't quit crying within 10, 15 minutes, we will call you, and we'll start over each week. Mm-hmm. And it does. It over a process, it gets better.
Yep.
Yeah, I think when we first had Parker, the preschool director that was here, she had, again, like all most toddlers, had some separate anxiety and cried, and her best advice was, all right, put her in the classroom and leave.
Yes.
It's the best, because you have those parents that, and I'm sure you see it a lot in the preschool too, that kind of the hovering and the, well, let me step into class and maybe they'll stop crying if I do that. But it seems like that's not the right course of action. Again, they need to face it and, you know, not avoid it, as you said. But yeah, I think that was some of the best advice that as a new parent with Parker, our first child, that we got was, drop her off and walk away. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for both, I feel like, because even as a dad or a mom, I feel like you're inclined to, well, no, let me come back and help. It'll be fine. She'll stop crying if I go in there. But again, we can't protect our kids from everything, and they need to grow as children. And so that's a big one, I think.
And they need to learn to self-soothe. Yeah. It's like when you put a baby to sleep, you know.
Yep.
That's probably the best, in my mind, one of the first ways a child, an infant, learns that they're going to be okay, they're going to be safe, when you are teaching your sleep training your child.
Yeah.
The people that have the most problems are the people that the minute the child starts to cry, they go in and get the baby. Well, what's the baby learning? The baby's learning that every time they cry, somebody's going to come get them out. And sometimes babies need to sleep. Whether they, if they're overstimulated, they'll have trouble going to sleep. They need to cry a little bit and learn to grab their passy or find their passy. If you need to lay out six passies at the crib, which is what we, which is what my daughter-in-law did with our grandson, and it worked. He found out he could reach out and grab it and put it in his mouth, self-soothe, and put himself to sleep.
Yeah.
And she had a time limit. You know, she followed someone named Kara online, and she didn't let him cry beyond 10 minutes. She had you have limits, right? Mm-hmm. Because then there's something else might be going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think that's kind of where, you know, I'm not the expert on children, but in my mind I can see where that would be separation anxiety kind of begins.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say our 2-year-old, JC, she still struggles sometimes at bedtime with when we kind of have to do the same thing of walk in and, all right, you're safe, you're going to be okay, and then we leave and let her cry, and eventually she'll soothe herself to sleep. But was it yesterday or 2 days ago? She was taking a nap and she ended up falling asleep on the floor because she was reading her book and was reading, and then she got tired and she ended up falling asleep on the floor, and she was fine. And but it definitely, I think that separation anxiety can be a struggle, but it's got to start somewhere. And I think parents sometimes saying that, I don't know that parents fully understand how much our kids are really watching us and seeing what we do. And mimicking that, we think that, well, that's how they learn speech and other things, I guess, but especially with anxiety and things, that kids are always watching us, and they usually will mimic what we do. So if we have, unfortunately, struggle with coping mechanisms and things for our own self, well, then our kids are likely to continue on that trend, I think.
They are statistically. Kids whose parents struggle with anxiety are 7 times greater, or 7 times more likely to struggle with anxiety.
Wow.
So as a parent, you have to treat your own anxiety. You need to find ways of coping so that you're modeling healthy ways of coping. Mm. And earlier I talked about fear being one of the signs of anxiety. And think about yourself as an adult. I know if I'm driving down the road, I think the whole fear and irritability go together with adults too, not just kids, because if I'm driving down the road and I get cut off in traffic, I immediately become angry, but it's because I'm fearful. Right. So I don't think that applies just to kids necessarily. So as adults, you know, just even calling out to your kids, it's okay for you as an adult to admit you're anxious. Mm-hmm. Even as a man, Christian, you can say, I'm scared about this. But here's what I'm telling myself, right? I'm going to tell myself it's going to be okay. I'm going to trust in God because I know God knows the outcome of this, right?
Yeah.
And so, so I think as parents, our language, our actions, we can call out our own feelings and we can verbally say how we're dealing with them. That helps kids understand, hey, I'm normal. I can do this. My dad's doing it.
Yeah.
My mom's doing it. You know, it's a learned thing. So.
Yeah. Say, I recently had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., and I think we've talked briefly on it, but I struggle with anxiety. And my anxiety started when I was overseas on a mission trip, actually in China. And so I had a asthma panic something attack. And then on the way home, I had that issue on the flight as well. That happened again. And so ever since then, I mean, I had flown quite a bit before that, but ever since then, I haven't flown. I mean, we're talking almost 10 years now, but I had an opportunity to go to D.C. with my grandfather, which was an incredible trip, first off, but I had to get on the flight, and I had to fly there. It was a one-day trip, so I had to fly in the morning, and I had to fly at night, and that was definitely a struggle for me, because I was, of course, again, anxious about it. But ever since I did that, my kids, of course, I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my 2-year-old doesn't know much other than an airplane is in the sky. But for my 7-year-old, she knew that I was anxious about flying because we've talked about it and she's seen me. But now that I've gone and I've flown, all she wants to do is go fly. She's talked about, she's like, she wants us to get on a plane tomorrow and go fly somewhere. We're like, well, that's not really how that works that quickly. But but again, just to say, there was a clear anxiety beforehand because of my anxiety. But after I flew, now she's followed suit that she wants to fly.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very clear indication of the, I don't say power necessarily, but how much your children are watching you as a parent, and how important it is for us as parents that if we do struggle with anxiety or other things, because there's a lot of things to struggle with, that we also help manage ourselves so we can better help them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Some of the ways of challenging anxiety would be to ask questions like, even for yourself or for your child, is ask some of these things like, has this ever happened before? And if so, what happened and how did it go? Right? Kind of, if your child's avoiding something and you just say, have you had this happen before? Like, you've done this before, but how did it go? Like, were you scared when you did it before? Yeah, I was. Well, how did it turn out last time? Well, it didn't exactly go as I expected. Or, you know, I got pushed by this boy and mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to school, you know? Well, okay, that was one time, but just because it happened once doesn't mean it might happen again. But let's talk about if that happens again, how would you handle that, right? So some of this comes back to they don't know how to cope with the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can ask them, what would I say to a friend to help a friend? If I had a friend who came to me and was saying that they were really scared to do this, what would I say to my friend?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the worst thing that could happen and how would you handle it? So giving some ideas for your child, like asking them, what do you think the worst thing could happen? And then they'll tell you and say, well, how would you handle that? Here's how I might handle that. Here's some ideas maybe for you, but help them think of things, right? And then ask them, well, how likely is that to happen? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, it's definitely going to happen. 1 or 2, it might happen. Like how likely do you think that is to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And just have this conversation. The other thing is, what's the best thing that could happen, right? A lot of times with anxiety, we're only focused on the worst.
Right.
We lose sight of the best thing that could happen, right? And so, again, what you focus on is what you're going to see or what you're going to believe. Mm-hmm. And so the more you focus on a problem, the bigger it's going to get. Mm-hmm. And the less likely you're going to feel like you can overcome it. So don't forget to think about the best thing that could happen and talk about all the good things, right? And again, back to possibilities, not just the worst thing or the best thing, but what are 5 possibilities and which one's most likely?
Mm-hmm.
I like that one probably the best. What are 5 different outcomes? Okay, which one do you think is the most likely that will happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, I think that helps to truly kind of break down what the child or even adult potentially is mm-hmm. feeling and being able to put that into words. I feel like that, because again, like you said, knowing what's going on and being able to put that into words, I feel like is important for mm-hmm. us to, instead of just spiral down, to be able to put it into words and to work through it.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing would be to just stew in those thoughts and issues
yeah.
that you're thinking. Yeah.
I've also been up in the baptistry before where I've seen people say, you're going to be fine, just do it to a child. Mm. And the child is like, I don't want to do it. And then when you try to take them under, they've got their feet up against and they're fighting yeah. you the whole time. And then there's splashing and whatnot. And so I think, again, it's just being willing to have the conversation. You know, mm-hmm. emotions are good. If we believe that everything about God is good and God created us, well, everything is good that God gives us. He gives us emotions to tell us what we like and what we don't like. They're normal.
Yeah.
Right? But I think culturally we've been told certain emotions are bad and certain emotions are good.
Yep.
And the truth is certain emotions are uncomfortable. Right?
Right.
Yeah. We have uncomfortable. They make us anxiety, particularly, has a very physical reaction, right? You can get a stomach ache, a headache, your heart starts beating fast, your face goes red. I get blotchy from the neck up if I get really nervous. My ears go red. People get, do I already say, headaches, nauseated. A lot of physical symptoms go with anxiety. And so what's happening in the brain is that amygdala, it's a little walnut-shaped organ in your brain, kind of sits in the center. It's opened up. It's like the gatekeeper between the emotional side of the brain, which I'll say the right side of the brain, and the left side of the brain, which is your logical. Well, when that amygdala opens wide open, all these emotions start flooding the logical side. You lose the ability to think when you're having all these physical symptoms. And all of a sudden, that's when your mind starts to race. You can't think logically. And it's similar with anger. And so what you've got to do is do something physical to calm the physical side down. So deep breathing, a lot of times, is the best way to deal with anxiety-type physical symptoms, and so that you can get your logical side, your left side of your brain, back online. So I always tell kids and people, I mean, kids are people too, but kids and adults, when the minute you start feeling these physical symptoms is when you start the deep breathing. And for kids, it's smell the flowers and then blow out the candles, right? And so just you as a parent doing deep breathing with your child, mm-hmm. when you realize what's happening with them, you can touch their little hands, and if they're sweaty, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
My grandson, I know, I can hold his, I take his hands, and I'm like, okay, you're nervous, There's not much he gets nervous about, but I can kind of tell.
Yeah. Well, even when kids are upset, like especially a lot of feelings are high in preschool, and mm-hmm. sometimes I walk them out in the hall and just like, okay, let's breathe. But even like, say, what did you say, smelling the flowers and blowing, like mm-hmm. that's a good tool to have, yeah. just for, teachers and leaders down in our area too, when they're having to calm a child. So I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Pretty smell cool. The flowers, blow out the candles.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so I know it's at school, Parker has, she's 7, and so she's in first grade. I know they have, I don't know how many different breathing things that she'll, she's said multiple times that she needs to go do pretzel breathing or some balloon breathing or something. Anyway, there's like 3 or 4 different types of breathing that she knows that she's taught me to use those kind of methods, because, again, it helps tremendously. I've seen it with Parker. If she's upset about something, she'll almost automatically go into doing one of those, because that's what she's been told to do. Mm-hmm. It's definitely helpful, at least for Parker, I've seen. So.
Yeah. And sometimes with kids, you talk about throwing tantrums, we might be getting off base a little bit here, but with a toddler throwing a tantrum, that's normal. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Because they don't have language to express. So you let them throw the tantrum, and you make sure that they're not around anything that can hurt them if they're flailing and kicking their arms, and then you let them, and then you might walk away. Some kids, they do tantrums because it keeps their parents engaged, and so sometimes if a parent will tell me they're having problems, I'll say, well, just walk away, they won't have an audience, and they'll stop, and then you go back to them and you say, let's take some deep breaths, let's talk, mm-hmm. I wonder this, I wonder that, depending on the age of the child. But generally, I think with anxiety, you've just got to look at the context of what's happening. Yeah. Just the bigger picture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, and we'll, hopefully we can have an opportunity to talk maybe through more anger in children and some different areas that parents have struggled with in general, and families, and mm-hmm. even adults. Hopefully in the next, as we get with coming episodes, we can talk through some of those things. And I know there's quite a few questions that the parents submitted as well for our parenting conference that we have a plethora of content, as I feel like, as parents. There's always questions to be had and asked, stuff that we can talk through. Did you have any other questions or thoughts or anything, Erin?
Nope.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to
today?
All right. Well, once again, parents and anybody else who's listening, we thank you for joining us. And real quick, before we forget, though, say someone is struggling with anxiety, whether kid, adult, anything like that, We do have a unique resource at the church that I was hoping that you could maybe share just a little bit on.
Yes, we do. We have a clinic, Christian Counseling Clinic, and we have therapists that work with children and adults. And you can call 405-942-8888. And someone there will get you connected with someone to work with. Well, and awesome. We accept a lot of different insurances as well. So
wonderful.
I'd say it's a great resource that we as a church, I'm thankful that the Lord has put it on our church family to really have something like this, because it is a very good resource. And if you have any other questions, you can always contact the church office as well. And or if you forgot the number or something, you're welcome to call up the church or even come to the office, and we can get you taken care of and get you to the right people.
Absolutely.
But once again, just thanks for being on the podcast, and I'm excited to explore these things with us as we continue to move on. And we may end up, we have our youth pastor, Sanders, and he'd love to be on as well sometime, maybe to ask some questions and things. But we're excited to be able to work with you parents and families and adults. And again, if you have any questions or anything that you may want answered or something like that, feel free to email or come to the church office, or my email's on the website. Again, I'm Christian, the kids pastor. You're welcome to email me questions or topics that you think that would be beneficial for you as a parent. But other than that, we thank you for listening to us, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
You've been listening to the Family Room podcast. If today's conversation encouraged you, take a moment to like, share, and subscribe. And remember, life isn't always easy. But God's word has something to say about every situation we face.